Omaginajvanandas yaginanjana salakaya taksur mulitam yena tasmai shri gurve namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam sapitam yena bhutle swayam rupa kadramayam didati swapadantikam bandeham shri guru shri yudham shri gurum vaishnavam sha shri rupam sagarjatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Savaitam Savadutam Prajana Saivitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakan Zitam Sha Ekshna Karna Sindo Dinabandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Atidhanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda Shadvaita Vidadhar Shrivasati Gaur Bhaktananda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2, Chapter 7, Schedule Incarnations, Text Number 19 Tubhyam cha Narada Vrisham Bhagavan Vivrida Bhavena Sadhu Parituṣṭa Uvacha Yogam Jnanam cha Bhagavantam Atma Satattva Vipam Yat Vasudeva Sharna Vidur Anjasa Eva Tubhyam cha Narada Vrisham Bhagavan Vivrida
Tubhyam cha Narada Vrisham Bhagavan Vivrida
Bhavena Sadhu Parituṣṭa Uvacha Yogam
Bhavena Sadhu Parituṣṭa Uvacha Yogam
Jnanam cha Bhagavatam Atma Sattattva Deepam
Jnanam cha Bhagavatam Atma Sattattva Deepam
Yad Vasudeva Sharna Vidur Anjasaiva
Vasudeva Sharna Vidur Anjasaiva
Tubhyam Charnara Vriksham Bhagavan Vivrida
Tubhyam Charnara Vriksham Bhagavan Vivrida
Bhavena Saru Parituṣṭa Uvacha Yogam
Bhavena Saru Parituṣṭa Uvacha Yogam
Jnanam cha Bhagavantam Atma Satata Satattva Deepam
Jnanam cha Bhagavatam Atma Satattva Deepam
Yad Vasudeva Sharana Vidur Anjasaiva
Yad Vasudeva Sharana Vidur Anjasaiva
Tubhyam unto you Cha also Narada,
Narada,
O Narada,
Vrisham,
very nicely, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Vivrida,
developed,
Bhavena,
by transcendental love,
Sadhu,
your goodness,
Parituṣṭa,
Being satisfied.
Uvacha. Yogam.
Described.
Yogam.
Service.
Jnanam.
Knowledge. Sha also. Bhagavatam, the science of God and his devotional service. Atma, the self. Satatva, with all details. Dipam, just like the light in the darkness. Yet, that which. Vasudeva Sharna, those who are souls surrendered unto Lord Vasudeva. Vidu, know them. Anjasa, perfectly well. Eva, as it is. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Narada, you are taught about the science of God and His transcendental loving service by the personality of Godhead in His incarnation of Hansa Avatar. He is very much pleased with you due to your intense proportion of devotional service. He also explained unto you lucidly the full science of devotional service, which is especially understandable by persons who are souls surrendered unto Lord Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead. Purport. The devotee and devotional service are two correlative terms. Unless one is inclined to be a devotee of the Lord, he cannot enter into the intricacies of devotional service. Lord Sri Krishna wanted to explain the Bhagavad Gita, which is the science of devotional service, unto Sri Arjuna, because Arjuna is not only his friend, but a great devotee as well. The whole process is that all living entities being constitutionally part and parcels of the Supreme Living Being, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, have proportionally minute independence of action also. So the preliminary qualification for entering into the devotional service of the Lord is that one become a willing cooperator, and as such one should voluntarily cooperate with persons who are already engaged in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. By cooperating with such persons, the prospective candidate will gradually learn the techniques of devotional service, and with the progress of such learning, one becomes proportionally free from the contamination of material association. Such a purificatory process will establish the prospective candidate in firm faith and gradually elevate him to the stage of transcendental taste for such devotional service. Thus he acquires a genuine attachment to the devotional service of the Lord, and his conviction carries him on to the point of ecstasy, thus prior to the stage of transcendental love. Such knowledge of devotional service may be divided into two sections, namely preliminary knowledge of the nature of devotional service and the secondary knowledge of its execution. Bhagavatam is in relation with the personality of Godhead, his beauty, fame, opulence, dignity, attraction, and transcendental qualities which attract one towards him for exchanges of love and affection. There is a natural affinity of the living entity for the loving service of the Lord. This affinity becomes artificially covered by the influence of material association, and Srimad Bhagavatam helps one very genuinely remove that artificial covering. Therefore, it is particularly mentioned herein that Srimad Bhagavatam acts like a lamp of transcendental knowledge. These two sections of transcendental knowledge in devotional service become revealed to a person who is a soul surrendered to Vasudeva. As it is said in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, such a great soul fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of Vasudeva, feet of Vasudeva, is very, very rare. Tubhyam chanara prisham bhagavan vibhrida bhavena saru parituṣṭa uvācha yogam jñānam ca bhagavatam atmasatattva dīpam Yad Vasudeva Sharana Vidur Anjasaiva. O Narada, you were taught about the science of God and his transcendental loving service by the personality of Godhead in his incarnation of Hansa Avatar. He is very much pleased with you
Due to your intense proportion of devotional service, he also explained unto you lucidly the full science of devotional service, which is especially understandable by persons whose souls surrender unto the Lord Vasudeva, the Personality of Godhead. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristavudaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Kauravani Vacharne Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Sitarne. Something about the process of devotional service is explained in this verse, that devotional service does not happen by some arbitrarily. It happens by following a certain process. That process has been explained in many different ways in our Vedic literature. And principally, we have in Bhagavad Gita four Chatur Sloki verses. As in the Bhagavatam, we have Chatur Sloki verses. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, beginning with the verse, Ahang Sarvasya Pravo, Matak Sarvam Pravartate, Iti Matva Vajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. The Krishna declares that he's the source of all spiritual and material worlds. And that one who knows this by truth, by practical experience, one who becomes conscious of Krishna, then the result is he develops bhava for Krishna. Because Krishna is all attractive. As in this material world, everyone is attracted to certain material things. Everyone has some attraction. So, Krishna being the source of everything, whatever we're attracted to in this material world, then certainly we'll become attracted to Krishna because he has that same quality to an unlimited degree. If someone is after wealth, then who could be more attractive than a person who has billions and trillions of dollars who wants to give them away? And what happens, what to speak of a person who owns everything and is willing to give his devotee whatever he needs? Or if one is looking for beauty, if one has unlimited beauty which is ever increasing, then who can be more attractive to a person looking for beauty than a person who is unlimitedly beautiful? So Krishna has all opulences to an unlimited degree, so therefore he's called Krishna and all attractive. But we are not conscious of Krishna, therefore we're not very much attracted to him. Not only are we not conscious of Krishna, but as Srila Rupa Goswami states, we're not even attracted to the process of becoming conscious of Krishna. Nor do we have attracted even to the qualities that will attract us to the process of becoming attracted to Krishna. Therefore, it's not so easy to become conscious of Krishna, because we don't have even the preliminary qualifications to even make progress towards becoming conscious of Krishna. Therefore, in the next verse, Krishna says, Matschita Machkata Prana Bodhiantash Parashparam Katayantastam Mam Nityam Tu Shanti Charamanti Cha. That if we hear from the devotees, those who are practicing the path of devotional service, then we might get some hint how we can actually engage ourselves in devotional service. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna outlines different levels of devotional service. For instance, he says, Maya Satamanak Parata, Maya Veshamano Yemam Nityukta Upasate, Maya Mana Adatsva, Mayi Buddhim Niveshaya, Ivashi Shashima Evam Aturavam Nasamshaya. Just fix your mind upon me. Sounds easy. All we do is have to sit here. Think of Krishna. We can think of what we just saw. Radha Gopinath, if we saw them. They were open. Does anyone remember what clothes they're wearing today? What color of clothes? How many devotees remember what color of clothes Radha Gopinath was wearing today? Hey, Radha Balava, what color of clothes?
I don't know how you call it.
Does anyone know the exact term? Turquoise? What's that?
Yeah, like you said.
Turquoise.
Two kinds of green. Mint green and dark.
For the more technically oriented. Yes, two kinds of green. So, first we have the idea is to become conscious of Krishna. Not so easy, but fix the mind first of all on Krishna, to remember him always. Krishna says, Sarabhuta Samatmanam, Sarabhuta Nichatmini, Ikshate Yoga Yuktatma, Saratra Samadarshanaha. That the true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And so what is the difficulty in just fixing the mind upon Krishna? That has been explained in Bhagavad Gita also. Indriyanam hicharitam yanmano nu vidyate tadasya harati pragya vayor ganda na gandori vam nivambusha. So, indriyani hicharitam. So, indriyani means the senses, and there are different senses. The vision, sight, sense of taste, sense of smell. What are these senses doing? Charitam. They're wandering all over the place, trying to find something to satisfy them. Indriyanam charitam yan mano nu vidyate. So, if the mind gets caught up in following the senses as they're wandering around trying to find some happiness in this material world, then that same mind will drag away one's intelligence. Just like if there's a boat on the water, it can be swept away by a strong wind. So similarly, one of the roving senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. So the boat is compared to the mind, and the senses are compared to a strong wind, which can just carry away a man's intelligence and mind. So one has to develop, first of all, detachment from this idea that something in this material world will make me happy or make me unhappy. Same thing. Anything that was going to make me unhappy certainly won't add to my happiness. So those in the mode of passion, they look around trying to figure out what's going to make them happy. And those in the mode of ignorance, they look around and see everything that's making them unhappy. But it's the same thing, just a different way of thinking oneself eventually to become happy. So, in the material world, happiness means my ability to control the circumstance, protect my body, my mind, so that they don't become unhappy and they can become satisfied. I can get what I want and I can avoid what I don't want. As long as one is absorbed in this mentality of trying to get what we want, trying to avoid what we don't want, then naturally our minds will be dragged away by the senses roaming around looking for these things, what they want, what they don't want. And if our mind thinking, feeling, willing, thinking this will make me happy, this will make me unhappy, I feel that this will make me happy, therefore I become lusty, or I feel that this is going to make me unhappy, therefore I become angry, frustrated, absorbed in the mind. If the intelligence can control these things, then it carries away a man. The intelligence gets carried away. We forget, basically, what our senses and mind are supposed to be doing, what they're meant for, what is Dharma. Just like the Dharma of the finger is to serve the body. So if the finger gets carried away and thinks, I'm going to serve myself, who cares about the body? Then certainly the finger is going to be in a very difficult situation. So when we lose our intelligence and we think we have some other purpose in life other than to act in harmony with the laws of nature, ultimately with the laws of Krishna, ultimately with Krishna, then we find ourselves in a very unpleasant circumstance, trying to find happiness in a world of unhappiness and try to avoid unhappiness when that's all there is ultimately there is in this material world is unhappiness. So, it is said, in this material world, in such an endeavor, one can't win and he's not going to break even. All he can do is be unsuccessful. So, Maharaja Shabdev says, Paravas Tavad Abodha Jata. One is considered a failure as long as he becomes influenced by ignorance. And he doesn't atmatattvam. He doesn't inquire about atmatattva. First of all, he says, Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Generally, people in this material world, they're interested in indriya pritya aprinoti. They have affection for their senses and for the process of sense gratification. They're quite enthusiastic. If we go to a football game, we'll find people quite enthusiastic about practically nothing. People are screaming for hours, jumping out of their seats, even to the point of practically violently attacking each other. Anything is possible. They're so enthusiastic, they're so absorbed in the process of the football game, that practically speaking they're oblivious to anything else. They're in samadhi, material samadhi, indriya pritya, and they relish every moment, every beer, every hot dog that they're eating. Everything is just like nectar to them. The only problem is all it is in nunam pramatta. It's all based on madness, on craziness. There's nothing to do with their actual progress in life. Now they're screaming at a football game, yelling out for for their, whatever their team's name is, the Hogs or something. Go Hog, go. They don't realize soon, very shortly, they're going to be a hog themselves. Instead of eating the hot dog, they will be the hot dog. So therefore it's pramatta. It is all madness. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Yet indriya pritya aprina nasadu manye. So one who's sadhu, just like it mentions here in this verse, the word is used sadhu. One who's, here it says, your goodness. One who's sober-minded, who has some grasp of reality, he doesn't think that this is very nice. Nasadam manye yat atmanoyam asanapi. And why is it not so nice? Because asanapi kleshida ashadeha. It is temporary and is actually not very satisfying. It is quite disturbing. And the result of it is that one has to simply come back for another round of disturbance. Paravastavar abodha jato. Therefore one is considered to be defeated by the illusory energy, by the mode of ignorance, as long as he is na jignasita atmatattva. He doesn't inquire, what is the reality of myself, the soul? What is the reality of this material world? And here the word is used, satattva. So, with all the details, not that I've learned a little bit about Krishna consciousness and it's helped improve my material life. Before I was miserable and depressed because I didn't know how to enjoy the material world. And now I learn that I actually can enjoy the material world. So now I'm not so depressed anymore. I'm not so depressed about that because even if I'm suffering, I know at least it's normal. Before I thought I was abnormal, now I feel confident that although I can't really enjoy, I can get as close as anyone possibly can. I can end my suffering and somehow or another I'll learn how to suffer the least in this material world and enjoy the most. So that is not tattva, sattattva, complete knowledge, simply to become a little aware of I don't eat, I don't overeat so much, I don't oversleep so much. I'm yuktahara viharasya. I become more regular in my habits. I don't yell at everyone, only at selected people. Therefore, my mind is a little bit more tranquil and peaceful. And, there are certain things I like to do, and I do them, and I feel some happiness. And therefore, the best you can out of the material world. This is called Kanista Adhikar. I pray to Krishna for the best things in life, and he reciprocates by giving me whatever he can, whatever he can afford. But if one wants to come to the transcendental position, one has to understand things fully. But to understand things fully, one has to be willing to engage in devotional service. And devotional service has been defined that tatshridadana munaya jnana vairagi yuktaya prashantyatmani chatmanam bhakti shuta grihitaya. In the background of devotional service, it has to be jnana vairagya yuktaya. Devotional service has to have both jnana and vairagya. The materialist, very enthusiastically working for sense gratification, there's no question of vairagya. And for the materialist interested in understanding how to avoid unhappiness in the material world, or the mental speculator who just wants to understand how to enjoy more in the material world, there's no question of real knowledge. The so-called philosophers who philosophize upon material enjoyment, and those who are actively engaged in material enjoyment, neither one of them have any real understanding of reality. So one has to become convinced that unrestricted sense gratification cannot bring me happiness, and so-called advancing in knowledge, having to enjoy the senses, also can't bring me knowledge, can't bring me happiness. Therefore, in the background of devotional service is the idea that although we have this body and therefore we have to satisfy the senses to some extent, but that's not the aim of life. And although we have our mind and intelligence, simply to try to perfect material existence by avoiding that which disturbs my body will also not bring me to the goal of life. I may be able to avoid all disturbances, but that won't be my perfection of life either. One has to be convinced, as it says here, nimitra matram bhavasavasachin, that neither am I the body, nor is the body without any purpose. That the body has a purpose, and I have a purpose. My purpose is that I'm supposed to become an instrument for Krishna. That Krishna is God, and I'm his servant. That's reality. And now I'm thinking, now I'm not thinking about Krishna, I'm thinking that this body is God, and I'm the servant of the body. Therefore, even if I try to restrain my happiness, but it's simply usually with the idea of trying to avoid unhappiness. When I learn that by trying to get happiness in the material world, I get unhappiness in even a greater proportion, therefore I figure, just like a good business person, better to avoid that which makes me unhappy. That way I'll get more happiness. So even those who are jnanis, seemingly, they're very renounced, but they haven't renounced the idea of making themselves happy. They've just renounced the idea of making themselves unhappy. They just have a different angle of how to become happy, that's all. So, Krishna, just like Arjuna, he had that mentality. Why should I fight? All my relatives, my friends, everyone is on both sides. If I kill them, where will be the happiness? And if I kill them, there'll be so much sin, so much reaction. He had so many arguments based on Shastra why he shouldn't fight. The only argument Krishna gave him that he should fight, or he gave him so many arguments, defeating all his arguments, but the main argument was that I happen to be God. And I'm asking you to fight. That you're actually my servant by nature, that's your position, and I'm asking you to fight. So if you fight, you'll be in a good position because you'll be in your constitutional position. And no matter how many arguments you give based on Shastra why you shouldn't fight, because they go against my order, then you'll be in a very big difficulty. You'll be carried away by your false ego. And the result is still you'll fight. As I think I said the last time, Krishna said, you'll leave the battlefield thinking, oh, all these great generals, they'll think, oh, Arjuna is such a nice person, he's become nonviolent. He read one of Gandhi's books and he decided to renounce everything. But actually the generals will think, Arjuna is a sissy. That's why he left, because he's a big coward, that's all. They'll look at him and go, hey. But no one will think, no reasonable person will think that Arjuna left because he's become nonviolent. No, he's a coward. He's just fleeing the battlefield, you know, typical person running away, saying, I'm not afraid, as they're running away. So Krishna told Arjuna that's what's going to happen. And the result is, after hearing Arjuna's a sissy, then Arjuna's going to become angry. And he's going to go back and kill everyone anyhow, just out of anger. Because you're a Kshatriya, that's your nature. You're not a Brahmin. Your nature is not a Brahmin. Arjuna's not going to think, oh, all right, sticks and stones will break my bones. He's not going to think like that. He's going to think, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names get to me after a while. That's what he'll think. He'll go back and fight anyhow. So, the only safe position is that you have to fight for me, because I'm God. That's your constitutional position. Above the senses, or the objects of the senses, is the senses. Above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence. Above the intelligence is the soul. The soul decides what he accepts as intelligent, what he accepts as unintelligent. It's up to the soul to decide. And on that basis, he decides whether it's intelligent to serve the senses or it's intelligent not. But one can only remain in a position of renunciation as long as one's intelligence is strong enough to stop sense gratification. But there's a point where it's not so strong, and therefore after some time, one may engage in sense gratification again. And then after engaging in sense gratification, one may become tired of it and then renounce it again, and therefore bhoga-tiyaga. So intelligence in the material world has its limitation, either for bhoga or for tiyaga. But above the soul, which may decide, is the super soul. So if the soul comes in contact with the super soul and experiences transcendental pleasure in association with the super soul, then he has a different purpose of what to do or what not to do. Then he can do what he normally wouldn't want to do, and he can not do what he normally would want to do, because he has a higher purpose, that is satisfying the super soul. So Krishna says, if you don't aim at trying to satisfy me, then you'll be lost, simply in the world of renunciation sometimes and sense gratification sometimes. So that will not help one actually come to the perfection of life. It'll simply evolve one in the endless cycle of repeated birth and death, sometimes going up and sometimes going down. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita and the other Vedic literature, principally they try to encourage one towards devotional service. And devotional service is defined, as it explains here, in different stages, beginning with adau shadha tata sadasanga, tya bhajna kriya, tato narta niriti syat, Anyhow, in the beginning there is faith. Adau shada tata sadhu sangha. And then that faith should bring one in association with devotees. So again, the same thing. Matshita machkita prana bodhiyantash parashpara. So in that association of devotees, the result is that if one is even on the preliminary stage, there is some satisfaction doing rendering service to Krishna. It may be not a whole lot of satisfaction, but there's some satisfaction if one is doing something for Krishna. One is on a different platform. And when one is very advanced, then there's ramanti, there's great pleasure. So after sadhu sangha, which is the most important aspect of devotional service, how we associate with the devotees, The neophyte who's not very expert associating with the devotees, he can't hear very well what the devotees are saying. Therefore, he can't actually experience Krishna, because Krishna is experienced through hearing. But as one becomes more advanced, more developing one's service attitude towards Krishna and the devotees, then the ability to hear, not just to hear the words, but to actually experience them, increases, so that the rest of the process of devotional service is simply different aspects of increasing one's service attitude towards the devotees and Krishna, which is what the devotees are primarily talking about. So, adau sharatata sadhu sangha tya bhajana kriya. So the devotees, they say, alright, you're not on the stage of prema, so follow sangha bhakti. Get up in the morning, come see the deities, chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, go through the process. And there's different stages of the process. It's not that everyone is going to be automatically very elevated at the beginning. It's not a competition, in one sense, who can get to Vaikuntha first. You know, there's only so many, just like in the material world, there's only so many positions. And unless we get there quick enough, then someone's going to take our position. You know, we're about to go back to the spiritual world, we realize we're a cowherd boy, and then we find out that someone else already is taking care of my cows, that there's no need to go there. It's already filled up. There's no need. Wait for a free, you know, until a cowherd boy quits or something, and then you can get his job, get some other cows. No, there's plenty of service for everyone in the spiritual world. There's no shortage of positions. There's no unemployment in the spiritual world. Everyone's employed in Krishna's loving service. And there is unlimited opportunities. Therefore, the stages are gradual stages. For instance, Utsaha Mai, beginning with Gana Tarala, first thinking oneself that I already know all the details, I already know everything, to finding out that actually I'm not very steady, to realizing how deeply I'm absorbed in the war against Pogatiaga, and then trying to renounce and finding it very difficult, becoming more attached to the things that one is trying to renounce than one was before he tried to renounce them. Then trying to improve one's devotional service and finding what's very difficult, that everything I'm trying to do increase, I wind up decreasing. And then finally getting a little steady and thinking, now let me cash in my chips and see what I can get out of this. So many different allurements, so many different obstacles, so many different struggles on the path of just Bhajan Kriya. So naturally, after some years of doing Bhajan Kriya, someone comes along and says, I can give you perfection in a moment. We think, well, let's try it out. Bhajan Kriya seems to take so long. And then Anartha Nivritti, trying to actually, starting to become aware, especially about the offenses in chanting the holy name, trying to become attentive in chanting, and actually feeling, actually asking Krishna sincerely to engage in his loving service. And with all the implications that means. That means that I have to give up my lust and anger and greed, which we feel quite secure in the material world. That suddenly I'm going to be at Krishna's mercy. That no longer can I take shelter of my, you know, whatever my position is, my financial situation, my assets, my qualities, my talents. The only thing I can take shelter is Krishna. So it takes quite a bit of faith to actually ask Krishna to engage us in his loving service. Because Krishna might take everything else away. We actually have to have trust in Krishna, and that loving service will actually be satisfied. And then after Anartha Nivritti, there's Nishta, steadily engaged in devotional service, so one has to be willing to do that. Steadily engaged, not that no one else is engaged as much as I am, you know, that I'm working for everyone else. I'm just like a slave around here. Something has to get done. They say, hey, just Let that devotee, he's advanced, let him do it. And everyone else was just sitting around thinking, you know, poor guy, you know, just working like a slave. Nishta, steadily engage in Krishna's service internally, externally, and then finally the result comes, ruchi, an actual taste, happiness, enjoyment from simply doing the service, from being Krishna conscious. So there is some separation between surrender and actual taste, although gradually real taste develops, but ultimately when we actually realize, actually I'm happy. Now, when I start thinking about making progress and thinking about giving up everything I'm attached to, I become morose. You mean in order to get some theoretical happiness, I got to give up all these different things, but I, you know, I like them. They never did anything wrong to me. They never caused me any problem. I like them. Now I got to give them up. So it's a little difficult. And then from ruchi, everything else comes automatically. Asakti, bhava, and prema. Practically speaking, because one is liking what he's doing. Therefore he'll do it more and more and more and more. And the goal will come. So before ruchi, before nishta, these anartanavritti and bhajanakriya, these are the things that one has to work on very intensely. So if one thinks I'm going to jump to prema and not go through the different stages, then it's simply hallucinatory. So the process is hearing the philosophy and then recognizing where I don't like to hear it. Sometimes we give class, or other devotees give class, and as soon as you bring up a certain point, then everyone's eyes start closing. Just like the rabbit, as soon as the wolf or the fox is there and it's cornered, immediately his best defense is it closes his eyes to disappear. So if there's some point in the philosophy that's going to attack my sense gratification, my mental speculation, it's going to diminish my false prestige, the best way of getting out of it in class, if I can, I'll sit there with open eyes and just go to Never Never Land someplace else. Grab a hold of Peter Pan and go to Never Never Land. And if that's too difficult, I just close my eyes and relax and it'll all go away. Don't wake me up for prasadam, that's for sure. But that bhajana kriya and arjuna vritti siya, these are the things we actually have to work on. We have to actually see what I'm doing wrong. We can't go simply around looking for everyone to tell us what we're doing right. And hardly anyone may tell us what we're doing right. But everyone is quite enthusiastic, directly or indirectly, to tell us what they think we're doing wrong. So we actually have to appreciate that this is an opportunity to make some improvement, and it's not all that bad to go back to the spiritual world. So all the different aspects of the philosophy have to be there. And what's the test? Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam pritipurvakam. How much I'm engaged in service with enthusiasm, with understanding. And Krishna will encourage us. No one else has to encourage us, because he'll give us more and more realization from within our heart that we're going in the right direction. And the result is that as Krishna takes away the darkness from our heart, then automatically as we become Krishna's instruments, he'll provide all our necessities and guide us back to the spiritual platform. Therefore, we have to seek after genuine association with those who are engaged in the process, try to take advantage of their association, and become a willing cooperator with Krishna. Be willing to become Krishna's instrument, and that simply means we have to take a few seconds before we do something and think, what does Krishna want me to do? And then Krishna goes, beep, beep, I want you to do this. Well, I don't know, do you want me to do anything else? Maybe something else. Is there an A and B or C? No, I want you to do this. Who else can I ask what Krishna wants you to do? Go to that person. He'll certainly delude you and disrail you. Wow, no kidding. This is exactly what I want. No, it simply means that before we do something, we have to ask Krishna what he wants us to do. He's explained everything he wants us to do in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we're aware of these different aspects of devotional service that are explained there, then Krishna will remind us. He'll give us some indirection. And if we don't know what to do, and if we're really sincere when we're confused, then we'll go to someone who does know what to do. And when it's clear that this is what Krishna wants me to do, then if I do that, then I'll actually make some progress in devotional service. And if I think this is too much of a botheration, inquiring so much from Krishna and from Krishna's devotees, it's humiliating, then the result is that we can imagine ourselves to be very advanced and devoted and not go very far in devotional service, or eventually go someplace else. So here it says the devotee has cultivated this idea of cooperation, of surrender, of inquisitiveness at many births. Then they realize how Krishna is. So, thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
And to start the class with telling how we should fix the mind of Krishna, and so that we sometimes deviate and develop the material objects. So, I have the following experience, and sometimes when I chant, I can concentrate on my mantra, and it's like I feel Krishna. In the next moment, my mind is dwelling in a problem related to my service. And sometime later, it's like a solution or a way to handle the problem coming in my mind. And I'm chanting mechanically. And then, at a certain time, I realize it is offensive. I should concentrate my mind on Krishna. And then again, I'm able to concentrate on the Holy Name and hear Krishna again, till the next problem arises. So, my question is, it appears many times that these ideas who come in my mind are very valuable for my service during the day. Many times so my question is it a reciprocation of Krishna to help me with my service to complete, because all remembrance come from Krishna.
And forgetfulness.
And forgetfulness. So, how do I see that?
Well, there's different levels of devotional service also. There's also different levels of maya. So at the beginning, when we know the goal is Krishna, but we're interested in getting the results, enjoying the results from our activity, that's called karma yoga. And when we know the goal is Krishna, but we take interest in, we take pleasure in mental speculation to understand Krishna, that's called jnana yoga. And when we see Krishna completely out of love and devotional service, that's called buddhi yoga or bhakti yoga. So we should see different levels. The idea of improving my devotional service, but if improving my devotional service means that I've come to the offensive state of chanting, then we may question, what is the improvement in my devotional service? Although it may superficially be elevating me from karma yoga to jnana yoga, which is an improvement, but I've just gone from bhakti yoga to jnana yoga, which is actually a going downwards. So my suggestion is the best thing to do is have a piece of paper and a pencil. And if a problem comes, write it down. That way you don't have to start trying to think, well, I have a problem, I'm going to forget it. It'll be irresponsible. No, it's right there on the paper. You don't have to solve it right there. Anything else? Yes.
Now we know that we are not blinded by the senses, we still identify ourselves with it. So my question is there any way of not identifying ourselves with that?
Identify ourselves with Krishna. we may not, in the, when we get up in the morning, sometimes there's a lot of clouds, I guess they call it. Especially around here, there's a lot of clouds, and sometimes there's mist and fog. So the question is there any way we can avoid the mist and fog? No, we can't. We have to wait till the sun comes up, if it ever does around here, and then to drive away the mist and the fog. We can't do it ourselves. But in relation to devotional service, if we dedicate ourselves to the service of Krishna by rendering service as he wants us to do and by trying to think of him in Krishna consciousness, then as we become more conscious of Krishna, then we'll become more conscious of ourselves, who we actually are. There's no way we can, by ourselves, drive away the mist and fog. There's no way we can drive away illusion, except to understand that we are an illusion and to understand that the process of getting free from illusion is to take shelter of Krishna. And as we take shelter of Krishna, as he sees our sincerity and reveals himself, then he'll drive away the illusion. Well, patience is a good beginning. Then we have to cultivate conviction and knowledge. And then with that conviction and knowledge, we have to steadily engage enthusiastically in Krishna service. Prabhupada defines enthusiasm as activity with intelligence and Krishna consciousness is defined as enthusiasm. So it means we have to do something for Krishna with intelligence and in Krishna consciousness. So patience is a good beginning. Without patience we can't make any progress, unless we understand we're eternal and that we don't have to go after the temporary. Then we can't make any progress. But still, we have to actually find out what is the eternal, and what we have to do for the eternal. And as we do something for the eternal, we actually become more and more enlivened by doing it, enthusiastically doing it, then we can approach perfection. Yes?
It seems that personal feeling and attraction for Krishna, even while not being at even at a stage of proper Is that possible? Is
that illusion? Yeah, of course. Krishna is all attractive. Even Kamsa is attracted to Krishna. He's thinking about Krishna all the time. Everyone's attracted to Krishna. Just like Radha Gopinath, people come here, they throw money into the little box there. We stood on the altar. No one would throw any money into the little box there for us. But here's Krishna, he's with Radharani, and people are attracted to the deities. They're attracted to the prasadam, to the holy name, of course. Everyone's naturally attracted to Krishna. Just a question of degree. Certainly there's a difference in degree before the sun actually rises, but even before the sun rises, still just the dawn dissipates the darkness. Although we don't even see the sun, still the dawn dissipates the darkness and gives us some light. So even if we're not fully conscious of Krishna, still, as soon as we approach the fire of Krishna in any way, then there will be some heat and light there. Even to a little degree. As long as it's not aparad. Aparad. So there are different stages of chanting. Namaparad, namabhas, and shudanam. So namaparad, if we cultivate Krishna consciousness, the chanting, but with the mayavadi interpretation, then we'll never get attracted to Krishna. But if we cultivate it with namabhas, with some knowledge, some faith, then gradually, you know, even though there may be a lot of clouds in the sky, some little rays may come through, give us heat and light, and attract us to Krishna. So the whole beginning, shuddha, from the very beginning of shuddha, is all based on attraction. It just intensifies when we associate with the devotees, learn from them about the process, and then take it up more sincerely in Bhajan Kriya, then the attraction should intensify. And intensifies through an art in the vritti. Simply intensified. So, most minute part of prema is shraddha. But when shraddha is multiplied trillions and trillions of times, that's what prema is. So even in shraddha, even in the beginning, there is some love for Krishna. Matter of fact, we can see anything anyone does for Krishna is all ultimately based on some particle of love. And appreciation. Yes?
So we say, you know, it's it's very painful to give up these attachments. But is it the same as increasing the proper attachments?
To give it up? No.
Then it's more easy to then go this way like that? These two attachments?
Well, if we increase our Krishna consciousness, then our material attachments will diminish. The only problem is that we're quite accustomed to our material attachments. Therefore, it's hard to increase our devotional service unless we have some conviction that I should give up my material attachments. But we can see sometimes as marathons, for instance, we don't have time for our material attachments. And therefore, with Krishna, we get a higher taste, and then some of our material attachments diminish. There's Ekadasi, there's special days when the routine of material attachments were forced to be broken slightly. And therefore, there's some possibility of increasing our attachment for Krishna and then giving up the other. Yes.
It wasn't so easy for him sometimes. So it seems that even
wasn't easy for the other side
either. Yeah, wasn't easy. Sure, but I was also thinking of the sun got killed and so many things happened in the world. So it seems that even when the Buddha is going to Krishna, when the mode of trying to swim, that we have to be prepared that sometimes it was really difficult.
Yeah, we're going to die anyhow, even if we surrender to Krishna. We're going to die and everyone else is going to die. That's what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. There's nothing we're going to do to make material life pleasant. That's what the nature of the material world is. And even we can live for as long as Markandeya Rishi, some kalpas, we're going to die anyhow. Even Brahma dies. And what could be worse than death? So we think by devotional service, I'm going to make life pleasant. We're wrong. Life is still going to be very unpleasant. But at least we can get out of material existence. Or at least come to the level of spiritual existence. I mean, Krishna sends his personal devotees here, Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, the Pandavas, whose life is pleasant. If you knew, I'll become Prahlad Maharaj, and the next thing that you're going to do is throw me into boiling oil, throw me under the feet of an elephant, they're going to pick at me with tridents and swords, they'll feed me poison. You think, well, I don't know, maybe I can become some other hero and Krishna will heal me. King Yudhisthira, after he got back from the forest. No, even then, eventually they had to renounce everything and go to the Himalayas. So whose life is pleasant? Yes.
Maharaj, I have a question. There are people who are not attracted to Krishna consciousness. They are already men, they're mad or something.
Well, they're already mad, they become angry.
But how does it work? Because the monks who are also like this, maybe not in such a cruel way, but the monk mentality before them.
Well, it's the mercy of the devotees. By their mercy, somehow or another, we become attracted. Just like there may be the sun on the outside shining, it's open, available for everyone. Some people take advantage and some people won't. Why they take advantage and why they don't, that depends upon their past experience with going out in the sun. So, therefore, some previous pious activity and some mercy coming from the devotees, and therefore we're here. So we have to cultivate more pious activities and get more mercy from the devotees, and we'll stay here. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.